From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. How many unsheltered people live in Sacramento? In Modesto? How about in Reno? Let me give you some of the bigger picture. California has an estimated 130,000 people experiencing homelessness. Nevada has about 7,500. During the holiday season, the donations and the giving increase. The efforts to shelter people increase, too, with the weather changes. And you might know that temperatures across Sacramento tonight are expected to be near freezing. There's more rain and snow on the way. But yesterday gave everybody another twist in the story. The U.S. Supreme Court decided not to hear a case out of Boise, Idaho, about outdoor camping on public property. They decided instead to let a Ninth Circuit court ruling stand. And essentially, this means if a city doesn't have enough shelter beds available, it would be considered cruel and unusual punishment to enforce a camping ban. All in all, homelessness is a complicated picture. So during this hour, we're going to look a little closer at issues, ideas, and information, maybe some solutions, and we'll call this Homeless for the Holidays. In the studio with me are two people who I would say are on the front lines in the Sacramento region, first of all. Emily Halkin is here. She's the Homeless Services Manager for the City of Sacramento. She works out of the office of the City Manager, Howard Chan. Hi, Emily.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here with us. Cindy Cavanaugh is here. She is the Director of Homeless Initiatives for Sacramento County. Hi, Cindy.
Good morning, Beth.
So how does the picture of homelessness in Sacramento County and the city change at this time of year? Because of the weather, because of the holidays, and now we have this non-decision, I guess, by the Supreme Court. Cindy, give me a point in time right now.
Well, we work hard across many departments in the county on a number of solutions year-round. It is true during the winter months we are cognizant of and looking towards what we can do to bring more folks in. But I would say it's a matter of doubling down on what we are already doing in terms of outreach, reaching out to people, and making sure we're using all of our shelter beds and just inviting people into the shelter. We do not have enough shelter for everyone. And towards that end, we're also working on rehousing people. And that doesn't stop or increase this time of year. So helping people get back into permanent housing is a key part of what we work on as well.
Emily, Mayor Steinberg has been supremely vocal and supremely efforted in trying to deal with homelessness. But often when you talk to somebody about the city issue, immediately someone else will say county. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the big picture, the county. So how do you work separately or together?
Mm-hmm. Well, we work together all the time. I mean, just the fact that Cindy and I are here, we're leaving here and going straight to a meeting. I mean, it is true that each of us have different roles, and the county does provide a lot of the entitlement programs for folks experiencing homelessness, the behavioral health services, substance abuse treatment. And so the city's focus really has been on trying to address the immediate crisis and adding shelter capacity and linking them with a lot of the services that the county provides so that people can move out quickly and sustain housing and sustain any treatment or other programming that they need.
What did this Martin versus Boise case do? Does yesterday make any difference, or do we have to go back to 2018 when the Ninth Circuit Court ruling was first announced?
I think for the city, it's not going to really change much of what we're doing on the ground. You know, we have been working hard with our outreach staff, with the police department, with the shelters, to make sure that people are getting into the services they need when they're available. So nothing's really going to change on the ground with how we're interacting with our homeless population based on yesterday's decision.
The county launched something recently, Cindy, called a flexible housing pool. What is that?
So we're really excited about this idea of really flexible services to help people get back into housing. People need different things depending on where they are. Some folks can get back into housing fairly easy, maybe help with a deposit. Other people need longer-term help. So we offer two kinds of assistance, what we call intensive case management, which is those services that help people link with income or employment or behavioral health, mental health services. At the same time, we're helping liaison with landlords because it's not easy to apply when you're homeless and find housing, especially in this market. So we offer all kinds of services to secure housing Maybe it's even master leasing, so where it's not in that person's own name initially, and we help with rent as well for some period of time. That's what the flexible housing pool does. We work with navigation programs, shelters, our adult protective services, and we even created a new jail diversion pilot to help people, instead of cycling in and out of jail and homelessness, let's catch them. This is low-level misdemeanors. And get them this housing help and other services so we can break that cycle.
We are about to hear the picture from Reno and Modesto. What numbers are we talking about in the Sacramento City County area right now, men, women, and children or young people?
At the point in time count, which took place this January, we counted about 5,500 people experiencing homelessness throughout the county. And that seems to stand true at any point in time. But over the course of the year, we believe that about 12,000 people come and go out of homelessness, because some people resolve quickly, some people stay on the streets, and about 70% of those folks are living unsheltered. And so it's a growing problem, not just in Sacramento.
And Beth, about 12% are children, and 8% of that number are youth, which is defined as ages 18 to 24, which means about 80% are other adults.
All right, let's bring in Monica Cochran. She's joining us by phone. She's the acting manager of the Housing and Neighborhood Development Division in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Monica. Glad you could join us today.
Hi, how are you?
I think you're hearing a bit of our conversation with the picture. We're talking particularly as the winter moves in and people are in transition. What's the picture of men, women, and children who are unsheltered right now in Reno?
Right now in Reno, we have, at the point in time last year, we had about 226 people that were counted unsheltered. As you know, we're getting ready to do our point in time count next month, and so we'll see how that picture is changed at all. What we do during the winter months is, like they were talking about in Sacramento, there just isn't enough shelter beds, and it is a lot colder here in Reno. So for the last several years, we have put up a big tent, kind of like an event tent, with heat and bunk beds, and it gives us about 50 more beds to get those people off the streets during the winter. We also have some warming rooms in our shelters where if perhaps there aren't any beds available for the night, people can come in from the cold. And then in the morning, we partner with Catholic Charities, and they open a warming room at their St. Vincent's Dining Hall where folks can leave the winter tent or the overflow and head over there to the warming room at 6 o'clock in the morning to kind of, you know, stay warm while the sun's starting to come out and warm up a little bit.
Monica, what difference has this Boise case made in what you're doing in the city? And does the city lean more toward it's better to keep people moving or to try to find an established place like the tent that can be consistent through some period of time?
Well, the case, I don't think, is really at this point going to change what we're doing on the ground. We're just going to continue our efforts that we work with our local law enforcement, outreach teams, Volunteers of America, just to try to get people the resources they need. Our ultimate goal is to get people housed. And some people are a little bit easier to get housed. They might just be experiencing homelessness for the first time. Some individuals are more chronically homeless. And so, the efforts change depending on the individual. So that's kind of where we're at right now, and our main goal really is just to get people housed, whether it's maybe some transitional housing to move them into perhaps some supportive permanent housing, and then on to permanent housing is the ultimate goal.
I know you said you have a point-in-time count coming, but that number 226, which direction was that going? Was that up from before, or is it declining?
No, it's increased. Last year it was about 40 people, I think, more than the year before.
All right. Can I talk about numbers for a moment? Because when you look at the number alone, it says one thing, Emily and Cindy. But when you compare, California, by some measures, has had a decrease in its homeless numbers in the state. Massachusetts, for example, has had a steeper increase. So I think the numbers are confusing. Mm-hmm. What do you say is happening in the state, Emily?
I mean, I think in most parts of California, you are seeing rises. There are a few that stand out that have seen some decreases. San Diego is the one that jumps to my mind. But most of the West Coast has been seeing some increases in the raw point in time counts.
Sacramento County is up 19% in the last 2 years.
Yeah, we've seen pretty much steady increases in homelessness. The number of folks that are long-term homeless has held steady. Mm-hmm. So that might say that some of the things we're doing for those folks that are chronically homeless, which means generally over a year and disabled. So we do have some promising trends, but generally we're seeing increases in the numbers.
All right, Monica, stay with us here. I'm going to bring in Kalua Barnes. She is the deputy city manager in the city of Modesto. Hi, Kalua. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
I think some of the perspective there is that the longer people remain homeless, the more difficult it is to persuade them to come indoors. But you have taken some dramatic steps in the city. Will you review what's happened since this case in Boise? And let's go back to 2018.
Sure. So shortly following the Boise decision, the city of Modesto moved pretty quickly to come up with a place where camping was actually permitted. And so initially, we made camping allowed in one of our public parks, Beard Brook Park. And at that point, it was back in September 2017. And the concern really was for the law enforcement to be able to direct folks to a place where they could actually sleep and be compliant with that ruling. However, at that location, we did not have services, and they were pretty limited other than kind of cleaning stations and some minimal law enforcement patrols. We also had some physical problems there when the weather changed and we were worried about rain and those kinds of things. So working with the county, we then moved probably 2 football fields away to another location where we had a really structured environment, a sanctioned encampment, where we were able to actually create an environment that was much more controlled. We partnered with the county to provide social services there on site. We had security pretty significant and spent the time essentially permitting camping there while we worked to make additional beds available in our network. So we worked with our local county and the Salvation Army to add an additional roughly 180 beds, and then worked with the Housing Authority to have to purchase and then have coming online in February a permanent supporting housing arrangement at a local hotel with another 200 or so beds available. So really kind of looking comprehensively across the housing spectrum.
A couple quick questions, Kalua. How many people are we talking about overall here?
Sure. So some of the other guests have referenced a point-in-time count. And here in Modesto, first of all, in the county, it's 1,923, and that number has been on the increase. We had a smaller number, a lower number in 2018, but we think that was attributed to the way the count was conducted and the number of participants or volunteers in that process. So 1,923 in the county, and 1,400 of those are in the city of Modesto.
And the city's outdoor emergency shelter is closed now. It closed December 11th, correct?
Correct.
So what happens when an illegal camper is encountered by law enforcement or whoever would kind of be the point of contact? What happens then?
So we've got a couple of processes in place. One is we've got a system, again, working with the county, where we're doing a Monday through Friday bed count of available shelter beds. So we are communicating with law enforcement between 4 and 5 daily with what that number is. And so nightly, as law enforcement is out and about, they're able to make referrals to the available shelters. In addition to that, at the Salvation Army, we have actually reserved a number of beds so that law enforcement knows that there's going to be a place where they can refer campers at night who are inclined to accept services or at least accept shelter for the night.
All right. Stand by as well, Kalua. And let me go back here to Emily Halkin from the city of Sacramento. What's happening in the city with illegal campers right now?
Yeah, so we're working, as Cindy said, and some of the other guests said as well, about making sure that we have sufficient capacity to connect people into services. We're a long ways from there, but we're making some strides to add additional beds. Over the past few months, both the city and the county have made some approvals to add funding, and we've added about 200 new beds through some small programs, through scattered site shelters, some youth-specific shelters. And the city just recently approved the construction of two larger shelter programs, one in the Meadowview area and one under the WX freeway, which we hope will open this spring. And really critical is that all of these shelters are intended to be low barrier with full wraparound services and the rehousing as well to help people exit. Our goal is to make the shelters an integral part of somebody's path into housing and not just a safe place to sort of be at night.
But for right now, how big is the gap, Emily?
Well, I think that we have about 1,400 beds at my count throughout the city and the county. And
for roughly a population of 5,500 people?
And we think about 3,000 and 3,500 are unsheltered. And so it's, there's a mismatch. We do not have enough shelter capacity. And so making sure that those shelters are used as efficiently and as possible, and making sure that the throughput from shelters into housing and other services is the best way to increase capacity.
So I want to add a few other cities to what's happening out there. Some of you might know that Davis is debating the opening of a daytime shelter for people experiencing homelessness. There's a proposed location on Fifth Street. There's opposition from people in the area, and a vote is happening tonight on $300,000 worth of funding for that shelter. Meanwhile, Stockton is going to make an announcement today. The mayor and homeless and housing advocates are going to announce $12 million in state support from the governor's Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention Fund. Now, you could argue that maybe this is the holidays and a lot of attention is happening. Some people have said, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, some people have said that maybe we are actually reaching a tipping point, that homelessness has risen to the top of the list of issues that we need to deal with, and maybe we're actually going to start finding some true solutions. Cindy Cavanaugh from Sacramento County, what do you think?
I feel that is happening within the county. My position was created just over three years ago, but each department, ranging from our criminal justice department, such as probation or the public defender, are deepening their contribution to solutions to homelessness. Just this last month, behavioral health expanded by $72 million in services across the board, in new services for persons experiencing mental health issues, serious mental health issues. But $20 million of that will go towards rehousing, which means there's a special focus even within those services. So I would say we are deepening our commitment within the departments, but equally important, and Emily mentioned this, is working not only across our departments, but across the jurisdictions, across the providers, working as smart as we can. There is a lot of effort. There is a lot of money. How can we just improve so that we are really helping folks exit homelessness as quickly as possible?
That is Cindy Cavanaugh, Director of Homeless Initiatives for Sacramento County. I want to check back in Reno. And Monica, you're still with us, Monica Cochran. So are we coming to a tipping point? Are these efforts up there, for example, with Volunteers of America, the Community Assistance Center? Are some of these new ideas that you think are working?
I think we're getting to the point where the issue is in front of everyone, and so everyone is coming together now. There, like it was previously said, there are a lot of resources going into trying to end homelessness for individuals. And, you know, here in Reno, it is truly a collaborative effort. Our local COC, which is encompasses Washoe County, the city of Reno, and the city of Sparks, each jurisdiction is really working together along with all of the nonprofits to try and get people out of the situation into some permanent housing.
Thank you so much. That's Monica Cochran, Acting Manager of the Housing and Neighborhood Development Division in Reno, Nevada. Appreciate you joining the conversation, Monica. And Kalua, now back to you in Modesto. Are we at a tipping point? And what's the reaction there to the aggressive moves that the city has made?
I certainly agree with the other guest that we are at a tipping point. There's high visibility for the issue of homelessness, and we are taking really comprehensive approaches that include the county and other jurisdictions, having created a housing alliance that's actually countywide. And then at the Salvation Army, where I mentioned the expansion, we also have the model of a coordinated entry where there's an access center, and that's the door through which individuals experiencing homelessness will kind of get access to other services. I think what still, though, is a concern that I don't know that we've figured out, and that is for individuals who are homeless for a period of time, it becomes more difficult to persuade them to accept services. And I think that's the place where the challenge exists, whether it's mental health or drug addiction. But there's a population that's just going to be much more difficult to bring inside.
That brings us full circle to where we started our conversation with you. Thank you so much, Kalua. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
That is Kalua Barnes, Deputy City Manager for the City of Modesto. Emily, I'm going to ask you to stay for the hour, and let's bring you back at the end of the hour and have you give us some feedback on what we hear as we look closer at what's happening with some people on the streets and some of this transition, okay?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much. That's Emily Halkin, Homeless Services Manager for the City of Sacramento. So this special hour continues. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. Thank you.